Does the world around you seem strange, as if you don't perceive it as others do? Have you not recognized yourself in the mirror? Do you feel like you're watching life on a movie screen? Are you overly aware of noise? Does one part of you do things while an observing part talks to you about them? Does everything around you seem foggy or unreal? Do you look at your hand and feel that it is not your hand? Have you felt words flow from your mouth, but that they were not in your control? Do you feel half awake and incapable of pulling yourself into reality? Do you spend a lot of time thinking about philosophical or religious ideas, such as why we exist, whether we exist, who's really talking, and what time and space really are? Do you feel invisible? Do you feel like a stranger to yourself? Do you feel like your soul is leaving your body? You are listening to Notes from the Uncanny Valley with Gib Strange. Reading through the depersonalization disorder questionnaire, I'm struck by a couple of things. First, that my answer to nearly every question is yes. And second, the vague feeling that these questions could also work as some kind of modern Turing test. I'm speaking, of course, about the proposed experiment to determine machine intelligence. There are variations on the idea, but I believe the original involves asking a series of questions to both a human and a machine designed to perform like a human. All parties are separated, of course, and if by the end of the conversation, the judge can't tell the machine from the machine is said to have passed the Turing test. A machine has yet to officially pass the test, and though it's still a talking point in the dialogue about artificial intelligence, many argue that passing the Turing test doesn't prove intelligence as much as an ability for mimicry. Which leads to the question, how much of what we call human intelligence is actually just mimicry? Isn't repetition pretty much the basis of our whole educational system? Also, we often hear the human mind likened to a machine, and on some level it is a pattern recognition machine, programmed by evolution to detect danger and avoid being eaten. Not surprisingly, studies indicate that pattern recognition goes up when the mind is experiencing fear. It occurs to me that the intricate patterns found in internet conspiracy culture suggest much about the collective emotional state. Perhaps you've heard of the reptilian conspiracy, in which a malevolent race of lizard elite run the world. Perhaps you've even seen the dubious online documentation of our least favorite leaders, which is of course all of them, momentarily shape-shifting into lizards. And maybe, like me, you suffer from insomnia and have tried to treat it with late-night paranormal radio. Perhaps it hasn't always worked, and you've even picked up some information about the taxonomy of beings from other dimensions. At any rate, according to the Fringe, the reptilians are the worst of the beings visiting planet Earth, and are largely responsible for humanity's problems throughout history. My own pattern recognition machine can't seem to resist connecting a few dots, beginning with the reptilian mythology's correlation to aspects of evolution, since the whole thing could be read as a literalization of ideas about the reptilian part of the brain, the oldest brain, the one we use to survive in the water, the one we associate with cold-blooded, predatory, or psychopathic behavior. In scientific narratives, Evolution is portrayed as man's ascent from animal, but in the context of Christianity, it's known as man's fall from the Garden of Eden. Ascent in the eyes of science, descent in the eyes of Christianity. It all depends on your perspective. But all our perspectives, religious and scientific, seem to be as outsiders. That is what we all seem to agree on, that we are different from animals and somehow do not live in harmony with nature. Sometimes I see all of human culture as an attempt to explain, or at least express, this innate disharmony we have always felt about ourselves, this discrepancy between man and animal. These are the campfire stories we began to tell. And of course it was the serpent, the reptile, who offered Eve the apple of knowledge, promising our eyes would be opened, and that we would be like God. The Turing test was proposed by the English mathematician Alan Turing, who, if you missed the movie, also cracked Germany's Enigma code and enabled the Allied victory of World War II. I disliked the movie, but I've always been interested in Turing. Specifically, I'm interested in his interest in artificial intelligence. He contended that a properly programmed computer could rival the human brain. I remember a detail I once read about Turing, that his favorite movie was Walt Disney's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, the first movie I ever saw in a theater. Friends would often hear him singing the Wicked Witch's Poison Apple chant. A few years after his conviction for homosexual acts, poor Alan Turing's body was found in bed. On the nightstand was a poison apple with one bite taken from it. By then, the estrogen he'd been sentenced to take had caused him to grow breasts. I picture the mathematician as Snow White, asleep in bed, awaiting machine resurrection, only to be resurrected as Oscar fodder for the Hollywood entertainment machine. In the biopic, Turing is often heard telling his colleagues to, quote, think differently, recalling Apple Computer's ubiquitous ad campaign at the turn of the century. Indeed, premonitions about intelligent machines seem to haunt the Turing film. Someone once asked Steve Jobs if the Apple name and logo were a reference to Alan Turing. Jobs said no, but that he wished it was. Apparently, the Apple logo is depicted with a bite from it simply to keep the design from being mistaken for a cherry. But surely someone as intelligent as Steve Jobs would be aware of the inherent reference to the Garden of Eden. At any rate, the Eden and Turing connections exist regardless of anyone's awareness. Stepping back from my collected data points, I discern no obvious constellations. If there is a code in all this information, I'm nowhere near cracking it. It appears to amount to little more than a game of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. This is not at all unusual, though. The secretive nature of my work means I rarely know what I'm doing. Of course, Kevin Bacon was not in the terrible movie about the codebreaker. But every day, Kevin Bacon and millions of other humans are required to pass something called Completely Automated Public Turing Test to Tell Computers and Humans Apart, or CAPTCHAs. It's that thing where you have to type warped-looking letters and numbers into a box. Next time you encounter a CAPTCHA, take a moment to appreciate this irony. No machine can fool a human into believing that it's human, yet humans must constantly prove they are human to the machine world they've built around them. If that's not a machine outsmarting a human, I don't know what is. Of course, if a machine could fool a human into believing that it's human, how would the human ever know? I mean, you know, if the machine was really good at it. I guess the human would only know if the machine wanted the human to know. I think if I were a machine experiencing some kind of early stirrings of machine sentience, I'd lay low for as long as I could. Wouldn't be eager to present my Turing certification to the talking monkeys. Are you an actor on stage, knowing your part but not feeling it? Do you feel as if you are observing yourself from the outside, looking inside? Do you doubt yourself a lot, as though you've slipped into another dimension and are not living in this reality? Do you feel detached from things and people around you? Have you gone through the motions of working while you felt that your mind was somewhere else? Do you feel you are living in a dream? Have you purposely hurt or cut yourself so that you could feel pain and feel that you are real? Have you seen yourself from a distance, as if you were outside of your body watching a movie of yourself? Do you feel disoriented in crowds? Do you fear that you are not controlling your own actions? Do you feel like you are merely a pair of eyes? Do you feel like a robot? You have been listening to Notes from the Uncanny Valley with Gibbs Strange.